Hi, everyone, and welcome to Total Nerd List, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. I'm Shane.
I'm Tom.
I'm Reggie.
And this week, we are listing our favorite arcade games. Yes, that may date us a bit, but we actually got to experience real arcades back in their heyday.
Yep.
And I missed them, though.
Now arcade, or when you see an arcade on the highway, you get really excited, and then you realize it's just somewhere where people can play video poker.
And like strippers, right?
I don't know. I remember I was hanging out with someone in Greensboro one time. I was like, hey, there's an arcade within walking distance of us. I'm like, no, there's not. That's where you can buy like loose cigarettes and
lotto tickets from machines.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely not the same. Like, I know they still exist, but they are few and far in between. And then when we do see one, it's usually now called a Dave and Buster's.
That, and just, I mean, there's not a section in many arcades that has like cabinet machine. They have like modern arcades with like the modern arcade games, like a Dave and Buster's does, but there aren't many with just like straight up classic video games.
But that's why collectors are buying them now.
And you can buy an arcade cabinet from Walmart for like $200.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I'll make one and put my pie in it.
Oh, I've gotten so, you know, those like the coffee table ones that they have at bars that have like Galaga and Pac-Man and yeah. Pole Position. I have gotten so close to making one of those.
I know a guy who can make furniture, so maybe I can talk to him, and maybe one of these days him and I can make one together and I can put my pie in it.
So sweet.
That would be amazing. Before we go further with arcade talk, let's talk about This Week in Nerd. Tom, do you want to start?
Sure. My week has not been very eventful. Main thing, we got Peacock. Is it NBC's streaming service?
Yes.
Yet another streaming service, but NBC has definitely produced some of our favorite sitcoms, Parks and Rec, The Office. There's some good movies on there. They overnight moved our Parks and Rec to the premium subscription, so we have yet another premium subscription to a streaming service. But, I mean, watching Parks and Rec with Allison was one of probably my happiest memories of our early relationship. We watched that all the time. We were into that before we were into The Office, so just a good show. And then before we got on for the podcast today, I was watching Aliens.
Uh-huh.
I definitely like that series, especially just how diverse the movies are, because the first one's obviously one of those like isolation horror movies, where the second one's more of like an action movie. I actually still need to see the third one. And then Alien Covenant. Y'all watched all those recently, Reggie, right?
Yeah, we watched all of them. It's Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, where they're on the prison planet. Then there's Alien Resurrection, which has Winona Ryder in it. And then Prometheus is first, and then Alien Covenant is second, and those are both prequels.
Mm-hmm.
And Prometheus is like just about world building more than it is specifically the aliens, right?
No.
Really? Okay. I thought I like read that like it was like alien adjacent more than anything.
I mean, you've never seen it?
No, I need to catch up on all those, but I do love the franchise.
You should
see it.
Watch them without anybody telling you anything, because I don't want to skew what you think it is, because it is really good. I really love them. I love them both, actually.
Nice. I'm definitely getting into watching all of those, especially since apparently they're on HBO on Hulu. So I watched that one. I just have to say Bill Paxton in the second one is an entire mood.
Game over, man.
I just feel like I've had a little Bill Paxton in me during this whole pandemic. But we all need a Newt in our lives to make us, to keep us calm and just have that BA kid who has it all under control. I feel like that's been a lot of the high schoolers I've known during this time, and they've been newts more than anything, resilient. But yeah, that's been my week. Oh yeah, one note about the Alien franchise. I have a cat named Jones because of the Alien franchise.
Very nice.
No.
She's actually sitting with me right now. But yeah, that's been my week. Pretty uneventful.
Very good. Reggie, what about you?
Well, I'm diving deeper and deeper into the dark arts known as Animal Crossing.
Yes.
Every day I seem to be doing a little bit more with it. I finally started working on my actual island.
Mm-hmm.
Doing how I want. So I've made put my house up on a cliff. And then I've made this whole thing you have to go through to get to it. There's a fairy forest. I did my ranger. Instead of it being rangers on the beach, I'm doing my ranger boardwalk. And I've started working on my town center and my neighborhood that I'm going to make for my favorites. It's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it more than I was expecting to. I was very resistant of that kind of game's not my thing, but here I am having fun. Also, we, you know, keep going on with the Buffy watching.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we just on a whim started rewatching Lower Decks, which is Star Trek's animated show that they did this past year. And our kid
with Jack Quaid,
our kid actually really enjoyed it. So we have been working our way through the first season again. Really good show. Definitely recommend anybody out there who has access to CBS, their streaming service. I know it's another streaming service, but CBL Access is definitely worth picking up. Also, on a side note, you can also watch all of RuPaul's Drag Race, I think up to season 11. CBL Access. So that's my best tongue pop. I hope you could hear it. Well, that's really been my week. Not a lot going on for me.
Hey, that's okay. It still sounds good. And CBS will soon be known, or at least CBS All Access will soon be known as the Paramount streaming network.
Paramount Plus or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
Which I also saw that means we're going to get Nickelodeon, which is very exciting because of the new Star Trek Prodigy show that's going to be coming out. That's going to have Janeway, Admiral Janeway in it.
Yes, I cannot wait for that, for Janeway alone. I don't know what it's about, but I know I'm going to watch it for her.
I have no idea what it's about either, but all I saw was that Kate Margaro was coming back as Janeway, and I was like, all right, we'll watch it. What do we got to pay for? Oh, we already have it? Cool.
Done, sold, right there with you.
Well, what about you, Bo? What you been doing this week?
So this week I actually finished, and I really haven't been talking about it too much because I've been watching it for a few weeks. Swamp Thing, the DC live action version that was shot in Wilmington, our home state of North Carolina. I finished that series this week, and unfortunately it was a series because it only had one season. And I liked it. I liked what they did with Swamp Thing, and I liked how I could see the potential in it. But at the same time, as a viewer, I'm kind of like, can kind of see why they gave it the axe. Unfortunately. So I'm really hoping Swamp Thing will pop back up maybe in my favorite Arrowverse show, Legends of Tomorrow. I think he would work great in there because it's just like the band of all the lesser known heroes, and Swamp Thing, you know, didn't really get a fair chance, to be honest. So I would love to see him there.
I completely forgot, not to cut you off or anything. I also have completely... Corey has been watching all of the Marvel movies. And so I have actually been watching a couple of the Marvel movies this past week with him. And we watched WandaVision.
Oh, nice.
It was so good. It was so good. I loved it. I'm super excited to watch more. But anyway, keep going. Sorry.
Well, the other thing I did I'm uber excited about is I finally got to start the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic book. Literally got into the first one, and then my tablet had a low battery and died on me. So I will be continuing that in this upcoming week.
Nice. Oh, it's so good. I need to go back and read it again on Comixology. No, it's been a minute. Bag of Swamp Thing, isn't that by the guy who did Watchmen originally? Like the original comic of Swamp Thing?
Would not surprise me. Don't know for certain.
Okay. I think I had read that a while back. I'll have to look into it.
That sounds correct.
How far into the Power Rangers are you, though?
Oh, literally the first issue, then my tablet died.
Oh, no.
So I will be continuing that as we go along. And it is essentially February now, so that means I get a new book of the month. Haven't started that yet, but I'm picking that up, honestly, probably tonight.
What book is it?
You know, I'm kind of deciding between two, so I will have to let you know next week.
Looking forward to it.
And then the one other big thing that's going to take up a lot of my time is, can't talk about it yet, but soon we'll be able to talk about my secret play, which Reggie and Tom are in on now. So, listeners, stay tuned for more news on that. And really, I'm excited to talk about that, which I honestly think might also be able to happen next week.
Finally, the world will know about Shane's super secret play.
Ooh. Yes. So I'm excited about that. But it sounds like we all had good weeks. You know, it doesn't have to be anything big and exciting every week. But now we can move on to the fun things, the fun part of the podcast, our lists. And we're going to begin with mine. So at the top of my list, one of my favorite arcade games that I remember playing was the Simpsons arcade game. Did you guys ever play it?
Absolutely. I mean, as a little gay boy, anytime I could play as a strong female character, I would. So I was always Marge in that vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
I unfortunately never got to play that game.
Oh, it is good. And as an adult, I finally beat it because as a kid, I was only playing it here and there in the arcade as I went. But as an adult, downloaded it on the 360, played through it, beat it, played through it a couple more times. It's still awesome.
Absolutely. It kills me that the Xbox didn't carry over those games, because we also had it on the 360 along with a bunch of other really good arcade games, but none of them ported. I don't understand.
Ugh, why would they do that to us? But the Simpsons, it was a good one. And I know they've had other video games, some good, not so good, but that one always remained one of my favorites.
Nice.
Moving along to my list, the next one I've actually only played once, but I read about it often. Mario Kart Arcade GP. These Mario Kart games are the arcade cabinets. I'm pretty sure the only place I've ever played it has been a Dave and Buster's, and I've only ever been there once, maybe twice.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And it's Mario Kart, but it's a little different than the console versions. Like, for instance, Pac-Man is a character that's always been available to these arcade cabinets. And then they have different items that the console versions have never had, like the gold shells, which are like a red shell, but it goes directly for the person in front of you. And then they also have tornadoes, which I'm not entirely sure what they do, but I saw other items like black shells, thundercloud, rain cloud, just all sorts of different really cool stuff that I'm like, I want that in a console version, and I'm hoping one day eventually we'll get it.
Yeah, I think I remember paying like $4 to play that game, and the race lasted like 90 seconds.
Sounds about right.
Yes, so I've always just been intrigued by that, and anytime I get a chance to play it, even if it costs $4 or probably more now, I will probably do it.
It was fun. It was just short.
Mm-hmm. And the one I played, you know, it's beside like seven others, so you play with whoever's playing on there, and usually it's your friends and then one other stranger who was unfortunately better than we were.
That one stranger that was always playing the games better than the kids.
Yes, always there. I think they lived there. Next on my list is a game that I played a little later in life, still arcade games. I would find it in the arcades and then eventually in shopping centers like Walmart and whatnot. So Cruisin' USA, the arcade game, it was always like the one driving game. I'm pretty sure there's a version of it in our theater in town. Might still be there. But it's one of the other racing games that I always just pop in the seat and try to play. And you get your 90 seconds and see if you could score to continue to keep going.
And Cruisin' USA was one of the ones they had for N64, I think.
It was. I was getting ready to say, I was very lucky enough to inherit that cartridge when my grandmother decided she no longer wanted her N64s. That was one of the games I made sure that I plucked out of it.
Nice.
Yeah, she kept her Super Nintendo and regular Nintendo, but she was kind of done with the N64, so I took all of her games. Next on my list is one that I have a lot of personal experience with because I used to work at a theme park that had it. Star Trek Voyager, the arcade game. It was this big arcade booth that you got to sit inside, first-person shooter, you shoot the board. And yeah, it was Star Trek Voyager. So what more do you need? As a huge of a fan as I am, it was heaven. And as I mentioned, I worked at this theme park that had one, and they needed someone to watch over the arcade, and no one would. And they're like, it's really boring because you sit in there, you make sure the games work, you know, fix them if you can, refund the quarters if they don't. And a lot of times on slow days, I would go prop myself up in that Voyager little arcade game and rest there.
What theme park was it?
It was Tweety.
Tweety? Nice.
Yes, it is no longer there, unfortunately. But when I worked there, that was one of the first things I did because they couldn't get anyone else to do it because everyone else said it was too boring. And I was like, me, all day long, did it for an entire summer, set in that arcade.
Nice.
I know exactly which arcade you're talking about because that's where I always like to go when we go to Tweety.
Yes. I wish they kept it. Ugh, I miss it.
Wait, like the whole arcade is gone or just the Voyager game?
The Voyager game. The arcade's still right there, but they updated it with a bunch of new arcade games and took it away to probably go sit in a warehouse somewhere.
We should pull our money and find it and buy it.
Yes. I want it.
Or put together a heist.
I decided when I was older, I am going to have an arcade in my house. Black lights, everything. That's going to be one of the games in there. As well as the other games that are on my list.
I want to go to this house.
Yeah, me too.
But finally, the number one game on my list is the one that's near and dear to my heart. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game.
Was that the one where each joystick was one of the colors of the turtles?
There was that had it like that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I was going to say, some of the earlier ones I played definitely just had like the two joysticks and that's what you got.
Now, was that one the Turtles in Time?
No.
Okay.
I am talking about the very first one. So Turtles in Time did come out, but it came out after this one. This is just like the very first one. It's the arcade game. It's the one that starts off in that building that's on fire.
And then is there the surfing in the sewers level with the aliens that would jump up?
I don't know if I remember that on that one.
I might still be thinking of Turtles in Time.
I feel like I remember there being a surfing level in Turtles in Time, so I feel like that might be it.
Yeah, this one was just very standard platforming, you know, you just trap the beat-em-up type game.
Nice.
And the reason why this is my number one, anytime I was a child, we went to the arcade that was in our local mall that has not been there for far too long. That was the one game I went to every single time. And whoever I went with, sometimes I would go with like my aunts or occasionally my uncles, they would just like give me some quarters, stand me on the little step stool they had for kids in the arcade, and they could go off and do their own thing, and I would be fine at Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles the entire time. I would only need them if I ran out of quarters.
I was going to say you can get a haircut in that arcade now.
I know, but it's still not the same.
It's a great clip.
It's actually, it closed during the pandemic, closed it. So for rent.
Maybe it can be our arcade again.
Yeah, maybe we should pull our money and open up an arcade.
There we go.
Talk after the podcast, guys.
Yes, I also have more personal stories with this little game. When I went camping with my grandparents and they had an RV, so I guess it was probably more like glamping. But, you know, we took it to one of those campgrounds down in Spruce Pine, a local place nearby. And they had a little game room that had like pool tables, ping pong tables, and a couple of game cabinets. And that was one of them. So even as I grew and we started doing that sometimes during the summer, I always still have my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game with me. And of course, like with The Simpsons, downloaded it when it was on my 360, played it through a couple of times. And if I get my hands on it again, like I have the NES version of it, that port, get my hands on it, I'll totally take whatever it comes on.
Who's your turtle?
Michelangelo.
Michelangelo, good choice.
Yes, with the nunchucks.
I'm a Donatello guy myself.
The arcade cabinet with the four controllers with the different colors for the turtles, $9,299.
Ooh. If anyone listening would like to donate one.
I thought Walmart had one of those arcade cabinets for like $200. That was the turtles.
I don't ever remember seeing turtles there. They had the ones that was like Street Fighter, Galaga, Space Invaders. But yeah, I don't ever remember seeing Teenage Mutant Turtles in it. That might have been like, that would have tempted me a bit.
With the pie and some wood and a joystick controller, you can make all of these games.
Absolutely. Maybe one day that's what I'll make you guys all for Christmas.
Yes. I will eagerly be awaiting. But that is my list for this week. I had one honorable mention, and it's a game that I saw at any arcade that I always went to. And unfortunately, I never was good at it, but it was Resident Evil.
An arcade Resident Evil.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Huh. Was it like a shooter?
It was the first person shooter. It was. Yes, it was like a shooter. And I mean, I might be misremembering it, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was Resident Evil, and I would play it occasionally because shooting zombies, and I sucked every time. I could do the Voyager shooting, but not the Resident Evil.
I'm terrible at that game.
There was a shooter game that was like House of the Dead.
Maybe that's
what I'm thinking of.
Monsters and stuff like that. I mean, we'll have to Google Resident Evil shooter afterwards because I will have to find that and play it then.
I swear I thought it was Resident Evil, but you know, I could have just had my games confused at the time and assumed that, you know, like House of the Dead probably was Resident Evil, and House of the Dead honestly makes more sense.
Yeah, it's probably House of the Dead. I think I remember that one too.
They even made a, there was a Resident Evil shooter game.
Okay, I thought there was. And I feel like I saw it often, and I would be like, I'll try this. And then after I failed, I'd be like, where's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Gun Survivor 2 Biohazard Code Veronica.
That's what it looked like.
Yes. That looks so much fun. I'm going to have to find that and play it.
Yes, well, we're going to have to find nearby arcades and see what we can do, see what they have. But so that was my list for the week. Tom, do you have some trivia for us?
Yes, I have some trivia, and we're going to do it like it is a bar this week.
All right.
Where I read the questions, and you write down your answer, and then we go over the answers. And y'all use the honor system and don't cheat and tell me who won. Sound good?
All right. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So these are mostly just classic. This is mostly classic arcade trivia. So question one, this Namco game released in 1980 introduced power-ups, cutscenes, and established maze chase as a genre. Namco released that introduced power-ups, cutscenes, and established the maze chase genre. Number two, Konami's popular game released in 1981 that had you crossing roads and hopping logs. Next, this one's multiple choice. Which game was the first to feature haptic feedback? Sega's Heavyweight Champ, Atari's Indy 500, Sega's Motocross, or Atari's Lunar Lander? Do you know what haptic feedback is?
Yes.
No.
When your controller vibrates.
Basically.
Oh, okay. And what was the first choice again?
Sega's Heavyweight Champ fighting game, Atari's Indy 500, Sega's Motocross, or Atari's Lunar Lander.
I hope people listening are taking the test too.
That's why I designed it. Next up, the next couple questions are space games. So, responsible for launching the golden age of video arcade games and defining the shoot 'em up genre, this game, you should not expect Philip Fry to beat it for you. Next up, Namco's answer to Space Invaders. This was inspired by the combat scenes in Star Wars and spawned the sequel Galaga. Namco's answer to Space Invaders, inspired by the combat scenes in Star Wars and spawned several sequels, most notably Galaga.
Oh, crap. Okay. Got it.
Based on an unfinished game titled Cosmos, this is Atari's best-selling game of all time. Based on an unfinished game titled Cosmos, it's Atari's best-selling game of all time. Cosmos is the key. Think about games. And once again, this is the space game category. Next up, what is the name of the protagonist ship in Galaga? This one's multiple choice. Is it Galago, Gyaraga, Red 5, or Galaxia? Galago, Gyaraga, Red 5, or Galaxia?
Red 5 standing by.
Red 5 standing by. And then the final question. This timed rail shooter was unique in that it used a foot pedal to allow the player to take cover. Okay. Y'all got your answers down?
No, wait, repeat the last question.
This timed rail shooter was unique in that it uses a foot pedal to allow the player to take cover. Rail shooter being a game where you do not control the movement, you only control what you shoot.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, so question one.
Miss Pac-Man.
I wrote down just Pac-Man.
I wasn't sure if it was just Pac-Man or not.
It was regular Pac-Man. Boo, boo, boo.
Yay.
Number two, Konami's popular game released in 1981 that had you crossing roads and hopping logs.
Frogger,
both of y'all got that one?
Yes.
Next up, which game was the first to feature haptic feedback? Sega's Heavyweight Champ, Atari's Indy 500, Sega's Motocross, or Atari's Lunar Lander?
Motocross.
Yay, that's what I went with too.
Motocross was correct. Into the space games. Responsible for launching the golden age of video games and defining the shoot 'em up genre, just don't expect Philip Fry to get the last guy for you.
Space Invaders.
Yes.
Space Invaders. Namco's answer to Space Invaders, inspired by the space combat scenes in Star Wars, and spawned several successful sequels, most notably Galaga.
Asteroids?
No.
I put Gradius, but I don't think that's right either.
It was Galaxian.
Oh. I don't know that one.
Yeah, it was almost the exact same as Galaga, but you were like a Y-wing style ship and you could only fire one shot at a time. Like, so once you had to wait until the shot either hit something or like hit the end of the screen before you could fire another one. So it was basically just less rapid fire Galaga. Based on an unfinished game titled Cosmos, this is Atari's best-selling game of all time.
Asteroids.
Asteroids, correct. Yeah. Next up, what is the name of the protagonist ship in Galaga? Is it Galago, Gaiaraga, Red 5, or Galaxia?
Galaxia?
That's what I put too.
No, it was Gaiaraga. And then the last question. This timed rail shooter was unique in that it used a foot pedal to allow the player to take cover.
Time Crisis.
Yes. I had no clue. I didn't put an answer.
Nice. So, how many did you each get?
I got 5.
I got 5 also.
Aw, I didn't make a tiebreaker question, so I think we should just tie this week.
Oh, tie.
Well, good job, y'all. Y'all got almost all of them.
Yes. The space questions killed me.
I went with my instinct and just said Pac-Man instead of Mrs. Pac-Man.
Mrs. Pac-Man was the first game my mom ever beat my dad in, apparently.
Really?
That's why apparently my dad doesn't like Mrs. Pac-Man. He lost it. Okay, well, I guess I will do my list.
Go for it.
So mine are a mix of just the classic cabinet arcade video games and then some classic arcade games. But my number 5 was Ski Ball.
Yes.
Always played that one with my dad when we would go to the arcade. Got really good at doing it where, you know, when they have like the 100 pockets in the corners.
Mm-hmm.
Got really good at hitting that. But, it, you know, going for those are one of the things where you go for the gold, but then you either like get a 500 or like a 0 on the game. But skee-ball, always been fun. I would love a skee-ball machine at my house. It wouldn't take up all that room. Next up, Hot Shot, the basketball game. I was always into sports, and I played basketball, so I always had to hit up that game. Especially the hoops that would move back on the last couple minutes mm-hmm. or the last minute, and they would count as 3-pointers. but always loved Hot Shot and still play it to this day. They was like an updated version that they have at Dave and Buster's, which is really fun and like really, really, really fast paced. I can't think of the name of it, but always loved the basketball games. Next up, this is my favorite classic arcade game, but Galaga. I love playing Galaga. It's frustrating though, because certain machines, the ship shoots as fast as you press the button. Whereas mm-hmm. some of them, they like slow down how fast you can shoot. Have y'all noticed that at all?
Uh-uh. I have not, because Galaga is one of those games that's so available on home consoles that if I see an arcade cabinet, I'd probably pass it by.
Yeah, there's like certain versions of Galaga where they've slowed down how fast you can shoot, whereas other versions, and I think they're the older machines, you shoot as fast as you press the button. I definitely don't like the machines that slow you down. But everything about it, the whole Star Wars feel to it, the whole ship being abducted and being able to get 2 ships, that was always super cool to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Galaga and I guess I would include Pac-Man, because Galaga machines and Pac-Man are always together, I feel like.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's probably my favorite like classic arcade game. Next up, like Shane, we had a Cruisin' the World movie theater game in our movie theater. I still can sing the song from Cruisin' the World. It's like Cruisin' the World. But that game is my favorite because, one, I figured out how to use all the secret cars on there, and there was a purple car with flames on the side, and its license plate said Balls.
Of course you like that one.
But I thought that was, like, super cool, and it was, like, my flex. Like, here's how you find all the secret cars. But also, you could double tap the gas before you went over a jump and do a backflip. That was cool. But another reason why I love that game is because the first movie I ever saw the midnight premiere was Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. And so we got to the movie theater to like wait in line like 8 hours early for that one. I was in eighth grade and we literally played, we probably spent like $50 playing Cruising the World that night.
Wow.
That's always been a happy memory for me. And then finally, my favorite arcade game of all time. I've mentioned it on here before, but the Star Wars trilogy game. You could choose wherever you wanted to start. You could start in Return of the Jedi, A New Hope, or Empire Strikes Back. And I remember the Empire Strikes Back one was always the most fun because it was Hoth. The other one was the Death Star assault, and the other one was the battle on Endor.
Don't be upset if I'm wrong, but I am 90% sure that that arcade game is at the bottom of Boone Saloon.
I might be venturing out to go to Boone Saloon. I didn't know Boone Saloon had a bottom.
Yeah, the bottom of it is decked out with arcade games now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I might have to check that out. But they had it at the ski slope growing up, and then they just had it like at every arcade ever. But y'all know how big of a Star Wars fan I am. I never beat that game. It was so hard, but it was so much fun.
Did you ever play?
I think I remember it too. It was somewhere in one of the arcades I visited.
What was it, Reggie?
Oh, I was going to say, did you play the one that had where you had the two buttons, or the one where it was the joystick and the where you had like the wheel?
Wheel.
The one I played was a joystick with a trigger.
There was one version of it that was like a wheel that was like two half circles, and then there was red buttons on the top of them, and you controlled it like that, and then you pressed the buttons with your thumbs.
Yeah, the one I played usually just had like a single trigger. But yeah, that was definitely a really fun game. Might have to see if I can find that at some point on an emulator or something like that.
Very awesome.
But yeah, that's my list. Don't have many. I guess if I had an honorable mention, it would probably be Soul Calibur. Because I loved Soul Calibur 2, but the first time I ever played it was on the arcade game. And I remember just playing as Nightmare and having the most obnoxiously large sword ever. And also, I think it was like the first game I ever played with like Ring Out as a fighting game.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's my list.
Yay. It's a good list. I like that. It's great. And like I said, I swear I remember that Star Wars game, trying it at least a couple of times, but I don't know where. So moving right along, Reggie, how about your list?
I forgot to do a list this week.
Oh, did you?
No, so the first one on my list, when I was in high school, there was this place that we could go on the weekends called Tiffany's Place. And it had like a music room and a library, and it had a computer room, and it had like a karaoke machine, and it had a stage, and it had a DDR dance machine that was free.
Free?
Free. You didn't have to pay for it. Like because the membership to it was free. And so I can't remember if it was Friday nights, Saturday nights, or both nights, but I would get dropped off and I would spend the entire night dancing on DDR. I'm not too bad on it. You know, I might have to play a couple rounds to remember it, but yeah, DDR on this list.
DDR was like where it was at our movie theater in Boone. Like our movie theater on Friday and Saturday night was like a little bit like town hall, and there was a DDR machine there. And I'm pretty sure there was like a guy who would come spend his entire paycheck on DDR.
There was always somebody who spent, like, there was always a line of quarters where he's like, no, I've got the next game.
I loved the DDR at the movie theater, but then I asked for one of the mats for Christmas one year, and the console, it was like it was for my Xbox, and the console version of DDR is so much harder than the arcade version. I could not pass a single dance when I owned it on my Xbox.
My parents ended up getting me like double-sided tape to put on the bottom of my mat. And then Dad made me this thing that I could like put down and put the mat on top of. And so that way, because that was what the problem was, is that the mat would slide out from under you as you did it. Because I also had that. And like six different versions of the game.
Well, and the mats were slick too. So either you slipped wearing socks or your feet would get sweaty and stick to it if you were playing without socks, or you could just wear your shoes and ruin it.
Yep. if I go somewhere and there's a DDR machine, I will play at least once.
You got to do one round.
Yeah.
Did you, two questions before you move on your list. One, did you play the Mario DDR?
No, I didn't know there was. Now, was that a normal DDR, or was that one of the ones where instead of it being up, down, left, and right, they were diagonals and a center?
It was normal, because I have it, and I still have the pad. It was for GameCube, so I can hook you up sometime. But
I'll totally borrow that and play that.
Yes, I only had one mat for it, but it was fun. I thought it was easier than DDR, unfortunately, but it was still really fun.
What difficulty did you play it on?
You know, I did normal first, and then I think my friends and I might have bumped it up at some point to hard, so.
Whatever the hardest setting was, there was only one song that I could do, and it was the Let's Groove. Let's groove tonight. I still remember the move. I mean, I can do the foot movements to that song. Every time I hear that song, as soon as I hear it, I start doing the DDR.
I always just think about that King of the Hill episode where they go to Japan when I
yes,
the
hobby.
Dental.
Uh-huh. Yes. And then because I am this cheesy, this Tiffany's place, was there breakfast at Tiffany?
No, I think they had like a snack bar though with nachos and food and stuff, but no breakfast.
Oh, I couldn't resist. So don't hate.
You are making me hungry.
I'm always hungry. Next on my list is the original Mortal Kombat arcade game.
Nice.
I know a lot of people already know this, but I was adopted right before high school. But actually, before I was adopted, when I was a small child, I lived in Illinois, and my birth mother dated a guy who lived in an apartment that was above an arcade.
Ooh.
And we lived there. And so every day when I would come home from school, I just spent my day in that arcade. And there was pool and Mortal Kombat and racing games and Mario games. I think it was the first place I had ever played Gauntlet. There was a Gauntlet version arcade. But I played Mortal Kombat so much, and I knew all of the secrets and everything, even how to like glitch the game out, that if you played Sub-Zero, when you got to the halfway point, you had to fight yourself. Did the ice freeze move at the same time and they hit, it would glitch the game out.
Wow, I had no clue.
So I had to put that game on here.
Who was your character?
Who do you think my character was, Thomas?
Sub-Zero.
No, it was Sonya Blade.
Sonya.
That leg grab when she would grab him with the leg and flip him over, I loved it.
Sub-Zero is always my guy.
Sub-Zero is my second go-to, though. Just throwing that out there, though.
And then Reptile.
I'm really excited about the new Mortal Kombat movie that's coming out.
Me too. Really? And I also always played as the yellow shape-shifting one, or Sindel.
The yellow shape-shifting one, like Shang Tsung.
I can never remember his name, but he's one of those that wore in the mask that wasn't Reptile, but he looked like them. I don't know, he could change sometimes.
I know Deadly Alliance was one of my favorite games in the GameCube era.
I played so many of them, I don't even remember which ones were which now.
Same.
So next on my list, I put the original X-Men arcade game. And that was the one that was like Wolverine, Cyclops, Storm, Dazzler. I can't remember the rest of the characters because I was always Dazzler.
Yes.
But that was another one of those games, like Shane had mentioned, that they released on the 360. And as soon as I saw that was on there, it brought back childhood memories of when I was younger. I lived in Illinois, and I guess maybe arcades were a big thing in Illinois. I don't really remember, but I just always remember there being tons of them and going to tons of them. And maybe it was a kid and they took me there on purpose. That was one of the games that I was always drawn to was the X-Men one, because you could be Dazzler or Storm, who was also super cool. The other one on my list is another fighting game. It's the first Marvel versus Capcom game.
Nice.
Not a huge Marvel fan, although I have been recently watching a bunch of the movies because of WandaVision. But with the Marvel versus Capcom, it was the first game I had ever seen where you could pick multiple people, and then you also had an assist that would send an even another person out to do like a small thing and then retreat.
I remember that.
And I just became obsessed with BB Hood, who was like the Little Red Riding Hood character that had like a basket, and she would pull out like this big machine gun. Also the first time I had ever seen the any of the Darkstalker characters. And then, you know, later on Marvel versus Capcom 2 had Resident Evil characters, which made me freak out even more. And
who was my favorite out of that series?
Two.
Mm-hmm.
I will always play somebody in two if they want to play. And then number one on my list was the Simpsons arcade game. I remember being a kid, and like Simpsons was always something that my birth parents loved watching. And so Simpsons was something that I was very familiar with. It was an adult cartoon that I didn't get half the jokes, but I knew that it was a cartoon and it was funny. And I would always be, like I said before, Marge with that vacuum cleaner or Lisa with the saxophone. I was always disappointed that you couldn't be Maggie, though, because that's who I really wanted to be, with the baby.
Maggie with the sniper rifle.
Right? You guys ever play the Simpsons video game that came out for like the Wii and the Xbox and stuff like that in the like 2006, 2007, 2008 era?
I had Simpsons Hit and Run, but my cousin the other day texted me asking me about another Simpsons game that came out during that era. I have never played before.
Exact same time as the movie. The Simpsons movie came out. But it was kind of like the arcade game where you could be any of the family members and they all had special abilities. But you would go from world to world. And there was certain ones that were specifically meant to play in this world to do better stuff and blah, blah, blah. We should look that up because that's a multiplayer game. We should try to find that and play that, because that was a lot of fun.
Totally down for it. I don't think I played it, but as much as I love the arcade game, is also I'm down.
Did y'all ever play Simpsons Hit and Run?
Oh, yeah.
I
that was like the Grand Theft Auto version I could play.
Yeah, I love Simpsons Hit and Run.
Finishing out my stuff, I did have two honorable mentions, which one of the trivia questions made me really excited was Time Crisis. I loved Time Crisis, with where you could duck, and you had to come up, and then it had the gun that you had to cock to load it, and it was all immersive. Super, super loved that. That's one of those games that I will always try to play if I see it. And then the last one on my list is Tekken 2. I put this on my list, and I should have put it on my big list, but I have a small story with it. One time, Corey and I were in Raleigh, and we went to a nightclub, and they were doing like a show your talent type of thing where people were doing their own music, and it was electronica music. So it was a lot of techno and beep, beep, boop, boops. Not really our cup of tea, but we were still having a good time. And so they had a Tekken 2 arcade cabinet. Well, on one quarter, I spent 45 minutes and got to the very, very last person in the game.
Nice.
I ended up having to use a couple extra quarters to beat it. But I left Corey at a bar by himself while I was over there for 45 minutes playing Tekken 2, and it's a very fun memory that I have. So I had to throw it out there on the honorable mention. But that's my list this week.
Oh, that's amazing. Great list, as always. And I guess that brings us to the end of the podcast. We always like to shout out some of our friends. Reggie, do you have anyone to shout out?
Always like to shout out Jimmy Kerr with Willow Mountain Woodwork, local furniture. And then our friend Jordy Marie Games. She does a lot of Animal Crossing, who I've been playing a lot with here recently. You can find her on Facebook. If you follow her, make sure you give her page a like. Jordy Marie Games, send her a little message. Tell her Total Nerd List sent you. I think she is close to 10,000 followers now.
Wow.
Really getting big.
So
go and help make that number grow.
Yes, make it grow. And you, like I've said before, you never know when one of us will pop up in the chat, because we do watch her as well.
Well, and she lives so close to me, like in real life. Maybe one of these days I might crash her stream and play side by side with her for a little while.
You never know, which is why everyone should go like her and watch. And it's also, I always want to give a shout out to Mason Blevins. He's our friend who wrote the novel 34 Degrees, which is available at major retailers such as BAM, Amazon, Lulu.com. Anyone anywhere in the world can order this. You can get a digital copy or a hard copy, whatever you like. And that's Mason Blevins, 34 Degrees. And I believe that's all. So I would like to thank everyone that is listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode. And that's it.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.